the big names you know, the other guys you've never heard of. Until now, this is Around the Nest, Jay talking around the Blue Jays minor league system.
It's another week of going Jay talking around the Blue Jays organization. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Straster with the Lansing Lugnuts. We get right into it with our leadoff hitter, Jim Tarabocchia of the Dunedin Blue Jays. Jim, how are you this week?
Hey, Jesse, good to talk to you as always.
Let's start off with Simeon Woods Richardson, start number two in the Blue Jays organization. Start number one, first three innings looked good. The fourth inning, things unraveled. Start number two, eight strikeouts in five innings. How was he?
Well, I think he got better as the start progressed, and the numbers will tell you that. And the numbers also say that it was inverted from his first start, where he walked too many guys, or at least more than you would have liked. And in this recent start, he gave up, I think, too many hits, but he didn't walk anybody. So I still think there's that comfort level of him trying to work with Cy, Jim Psychowski, our pitching coach, and trying to understand the organization. Look, he's only 18 years old. And you know, for me, I think people, and that's a broad term saying people, it really is it's not fair for them to say and to judge every little thing on this guy because, you know, they don't exactly see every single day him in the clubhouse like maybe I do or some other people do. And there's one thing I've noticed about him, very mature kid. But that's the key word right there, is a kid. And I think as an 18-year-old trying to get better and at such a high level, I mean, he's the youngest pitcher since Sixto Sanchez in 2017 to pitch in this league. He's 18. So I think there's a lot of room for growth, but there's a lot to be excited about. I think he was electric in his last start as the start went along, and I think he left the game retiring eight straight at one point. So there's a lot to like there with Simeon. I think the ceiling's very high. He's 18, and he's going to really continue to improve. It's just now getting used to a new organization that didn't draft him and getting used to this side of the Blue Jays player development.
In the offseason, there was some unexpected high praise that was handed the way of Chavez Young. And Young, his stats have underwhelmed, I would argue, entering this part, and yet there he is at the top of your order, and it looks like this past week's worth of games was a strong week for him.
Well, you can make that argument, certainly. I think the counterpoint I want to make to that is that he unfortunately had a personal issue in the beginning of the year that put him on the temporary inactive list, an issue that was out of his control. And I think that affected him for a while there. And I think now that he's gotten a chance to showcase his talent in center field, and he's gotten the opportunity to lead off, and now with Cal gone, unfortunately, he has the opportunity now to really to shine, see more pitches, because to me he's always been very successful as a first ball hitter. So I think getting now the opportunity here this second half on this 8-game hitting streak, hitting .355 during that streak, I believe with him he has the opportunity to not only see more pitches but get pitches early in the count that he can drive, because he got protection behind him with Kevin Vicuña tonight and Alejandro Kirk. But again, in that leadoff spot, it gives him a little bit more free rein and the shackles are a bit taken off. And this is actually the eighth consecutive game that he's leading off tonight as well. So I think he's in a good spot right now.
A question that was sent in from the minor leaguer wondering, have you had the chance to roll over by Dunedin Stadium and see how the renovations are going?
I think they're going great. I always tell everybody every day, I turn to them and I say, hey, almost done. We can play tomorrow if we had to here, you know. I look at it it's going to be a great park. And I'm at a great park tonight in Bradenton, actually. And it's supposed to be very similar to how this park is built here at Leadcom Park, where it has the boardwalk all the way around. And I was looking at a picture yesterday in the elevator here at Leadcom Park in Bradenton. And it was a before picture, before they did the renovations. And I'm looking at it now. I'm in the booth looking out straight out at it. And I think it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous view. And I think it's going to look spectacular, our ballpark, when it's done. And I'm really looking forward to the boardwalk and to the new TVs and the new TVs. Yeah. I have a new scoreboard, Jim. Oh my goodness. The old scoreboard, thank God, is gone. That thing is, Mike Libertor, our GM and my boss always used to say, I wanted to take a sledgehammer to that thing. I hope he did, because I wanted to take a sledgehammer to it too. New seating, the game atmosphere, it's all encompassing, and it's going to be great when it's done. And I'm really excited.
Speaking with Jim Tarabokia, voice of the Dunedin Blue Jays. Last question that I have for you this week, Jim. There was a lot of attention that was paid to Ross Atkins' comments, especially in the wake of the trade deadline. One thing that he had said was that that there were 20 different starters in the minor leagues who checked all the boxes for him, and that started people looking at the minor leagues and looking at all of our different starting rotations. So, out of your starting rotation, who checks the boxes for you?
Good question. I think they all bring something unique to the table. Now, when he says that, and I want to take a little bit of a different approach to this, I think when he says that, ultimately, he's saying that we have guys that potentially could be those starting pitchers. I think ultimately what he could mean is, though, hey, they could be key bullpen pieces that could help us on the back end as well. I think that's also very important and all encompassing as well. So I guess that's my crutch today as well. so I think with Simeon and guy again, you and you know this too. Your guys are young. Our guys now in this rotation are young. I mean, our ace of our staff right now, Maximo Castillo, he's in the top 10 in a lot of categories on the mound. He's 20 years old. I mean, that's a great spot to be in. Nick Allgaier, another guy, a college pitcher who's pitching tonight, a ton of talent. The ceiling is still, in my opinion, pretty high for him. Josh Winkowski, who we've talked about, another guy, still very young, and somebody who could ultimately turn out to be an ace. You know, so we're looking at, I don't know. Look, I haven't gone through the whole system to say this guy, yes, this guy, yes. Look, I'm going to trust his judgment, obviously. But I look at it just from our perspective here in Dunedin, and I say, you know what? We've got actually seven guys who could ultimately be in our rotation. We had one guy pitch who's in our rotation early in the year out of the bullpen last night in Turner Larkin. So that's a good problem to have, especially for us going into the postseason when we have all those pitchers and guys with starting experience who can come out of the bullpen and be reliable weapons.
The Dunedin Blue Jays are already playoff bound this weekend, first at Bradenton, and then they'll be back at their home away from home hosting Clearwater and then going to Clearwater starting up next week. You can find Jim on Twitter at Jim Tara. Jim, thank you very much.
All right, Jesse, thank you. Have a good one. We'll talk soon.
All right, beautiful. There's a lot of activity going on in the background behind Jim. Let me bring in Pat Mollicaro, the voice of the herd. Pat, how are you?
Good, Jesse. Not as much commotion going on here in Columbus, Ohio right now as the Bisons are about to get ready to stretch and the Clippers are on the field. But it's a fun week as we close in on the final 25 games of the season, and the Bison are still in the playoff hunt, so there's a lot to play for over the final three-ish weeks of the season.
The initial performances that stood out to me, just looking over your box scores from this past week, Patrick Hivlahan, more power, another two-homer game. Roddy Tellez also looks to be hitting the ball well. What stood out to you?
Yeah, Rowdy going with seven hits in the series in Toledo and six of those doubles. His first six hits in the series were doubles. To me, that's the Rowdy Tellez that we saw the second half of last season here in Buffalo, and then the Blue Jay fans saw in September as well. Not your prototypical first baseman that's going to hit a ton of home runs, although he does have 14 in the big leagues this year and seven with the Bisons. He's a guy that can go gap to gap, and if he can get on base, up the on-base percentage, and we've seen him show some of the plate discipline that he was hoping to develop and refine here in Buffalo, then you're looking at a guy who not only can hit for a little bit of power, but can get himself on base in other ways as well. And as we talk about a shift in, you know, the way that maybe positions are used and handled in the big leagues, then Rowdy Tellez could be another one of those hybrid type of guys that not your prototypical first baseman, but can do some other things that add value to the team.
Have you seen through the course of your years in Buffalo how defensive positioning and the philosophy toward that has changed?
I don't know about defense. Yeah, I guess, yes, absolutely you can. If you just take it in general, you know, in terms of shifting, there is a lot more defensive shifting than there ever was in the game. But honestly, I've noticed a change even in this season, not as much overshifting as there has been in the last couple of years. You know, talking to some people about it, the minor leagues, they want to get players ready. If shifting is going to be a part of the game, at least in the short term, you want your players to have been through all the situations. So while guys will shift Rowdy with a second baseman in the outfield, shift the shortstop over to the right side of the diamond, I've also seen very recently in a team like Durham, which is a AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays, who seemingly are trying a lot of new things year after year, they're shading up the middle, not necessarily an overshift, but shading guys up the middle more, whether it be a shortstop towards the second base bag with left-handed batters or the second baseman towards the middle against right-handed batters. So even with the rapid ascension of shifting in baseball, we're even seeing some changes and tweaks, refinement to that this year.
Before I get to your pitchers, another question about your starting lineup. How good is it to have Anthony Alford back?
Yeah, it's good to have Anthony back because somebody, when he barrels up the baseball, you know that he hit it. You know, oblique injury cost him about 39 games of the season. He was one of the players that was a main cog of this Bison offense, and his defense was getting better as well with his reads and the routes he was taking to the baseball. So I would like to see over the last 25 games, including last night, just how Anthony finishes the season, if that results in a September call-up being a 40-man guy, and how we can kind of use the final games here and maybe even September to – it's hard to carry momentum into the next year, so I'm not going to say that, but really take the end of the 19 season and feel good about yourself going into your off-season program.
Yesterday, you called a 9-inning game in 2 hours, 16 minutes. T.J. Zoik had it working until it all unraveled in the bottom of the 8th inning. What did you see from T.J.?
Yesterday, he had the sinker working well. It was really jamming right-handed batters. He broke a lot of bats. Not going to blow you away with the fastball necessarily, but did exactly what he needed to do. Got a lot of ground balls. And, you know, unfortunately, a couple of wasted opportunities by the Bison's offense early in the game. Kept it a 1-0 game into the 7th and the bottom of the 8th. And then Zoik just maybe ran out of gas in that 8th inning because he hadn't thrown a lot of pitches, but it started to throw more as the game went on, and unfortunately just a good swing by a good young hitter was the difference in the game. Even the pitch that Taylor Saucedo made that ended up being a grand slam by Ronnie Rodriguez wasn't a bad pitch. It just resulted in what would be a Bison's loss last night.
And then the other pitching performance that you know it opened eyes, because how often do you see guys strike out 10 in 5 innings? Connor Fisk, the Wisconsinite. How was Connor?
That was as good as I've seen Connor Fisk in a start, in a relief capacity, you name it. He's a guy that, look, he's a reliever. But this year, the Bison have not had 5 starters all year long. That continues. And that means that Fisk has to stay in the rotation. Not something he has not done in the past. But, you know, he's making the best out of a situation that he probably did not expect going into the year. So instead of it going south on him, he has pitched better over the second half of the season. And I think it'll continue. And he threw a lot of pitches in those 5 innings, but there were some pretty good pitches in the process. So I liked what I saw out of Fisk, and that could be a valuable piece for the Bisons in the rotation, which has been turned over a lot this year as well, in addition to not having 5 starters, especially with someone like David Paulino being designated for assignment the other day to make room for another acquisition. So it's one of those things where Fisk is going to have to stay in the rotation, and he doesn't have to strike out 10 every time, but if he can keep base runners off base, hitters off base, then he'll be successful.
A member of our rotation, Pat Molicaro, the voice of the Buffalo Bisons, on the road at Columbus, and then they'll be coming right back home to Buffalo. That's this coming week, taking on Toledo and then Durham from the 13th through the 18th of this month. Pat, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jesse. Talk to you next week.
At Playoff Push for the Herd. And you can find Pat on Twitter at PatWGR. Let's go down to AA now, the AA New Hampshire Fisher Cats. And here's the voice of the people, Tyler Murray. Tyler, how are you?
Jesse, my guy, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on.
Well, cameo for Jency Diaz up in the major leagues. He was there, he pitched, made his debut, he came right back, the whole taxi squad situation. Have you had the chance to talk to Diaz since that brief major league memory?
You know, it was nice to see all the guys kind of patting Yancey on the back. When he went up to the big leagues and when he got back, he got a nice warm welcome. And the word is that, and I think it was pretty easy to see, it was a big moment for the guys. Very first pitch, it went to the backstop, so obviously a lot of nerves involved. So I mean, you can imagine for a guy who got the call straight up from AA, maybe not necessarily expecting it, it was probably tough for him to settle in, and that's kind of the vibe we're getting there. So you saw some good things in that outing, but it's something that we've seen from Yancey during his tougher starts this year. When he kind of loses the handle in terms of command, it's really tough to get it back, and it's asking a lot for him to flip the switch in his big league debut when a couple of his first tosses weren't right where we needed them to be. So I think we're going to chalk it up to maybe a little bit of nerves, but honestly, that was a bit surprising to hear that that was a factor, because he's a guy who pitches with so much poise, especially when he's locked in. So I would not be surprised to see him maybe getting another chance in September and really thriving when he gets a second opportunity, knowing a little bit more what to expect is his next chance up there.
From a player who left you and now is back, how about a player who just joined you? What are your thoughts on Thomas Hatch, acquired from the Cubs?
Yeah, Thomas Hatch pitched yesterday. Is pretty solid. 5 1/3, didn't get hit hard. He's got a pretty easy 95-96 fastball, and just the four hits he gave up were all singles. And once they took him out of the game, that's when the Akron Rubber Ducks, who aren't really a hard-hitting team, but once he left the game, then they got a couple of good swings on there. So he did a good job keeping hitters off balance, and not necessarily your can't miss top prospect stuff like we've seen from a guy like Nate Pearson, but I think Hatch has got a pretty good idea of where the ball is going, and for a guy who throws mid to maybe upper 90s potentially for him eventually, I think it's a pretty good sign. So he should be a nice addition down the stretch here.
How about somebody else that I've been curious about ever since he first joined the Lugnuts several years back? Joshua Palacios was drafted out of Auburn. He went to San Jac and then transferred into the SEC, a left-handed batter, a fourth rounder. Now here he is up in New Hampshire after last year one game with the Fisher Cats. And this year it felt like his bat started slow near the start of the season. And now I look up and he's batting .283. What's the latest on Palacios?
Yeah, Palacios hit .348 in July, and it was only a matter of time. He had a little bit of a groin thing early in the year, but now you get consistent playing time, it kind of pays off. And I'm not great at player comps, Jesse, but sometimes I think about Dalton Pompeo when I see Josh Palacios, that great all-around athlete, good center fielder defensively, always a threat to go on the base paths with some pretty good pop in that bat, and just a really good all-around player. And I just love looking back at that 2016 draft, especially I think it was yesterday or the day before, Shai Davidi had an interesting nugget in his column about how kind of the old guard in the 2016 draft was a big part of making sure Bo Bichette was the pick at 66 overall for the Blue Jays in 2016. So you look at that draft. You had T.J. Zoik in there, Zach Jackson in the third round. In the fifth round, Kevin Biggio. And Josh Palacios was the guy in the fourth round, number 132 overall. And the way he's going right now, it could be a really, really good-looking draft for the Blue Jays in 2016. And oddly enough, they're facing the number 9 overall pick from that draft today, Matt Manning, a pretty good Tigers prospect. So Palacios has really been good this year when healthy, so good to see him coming along.
Let me ask you a question that I asked Jim Tarabocchia earlier in the show, and that was the whole idea of all of the different starting pitching prospects in the Blue Jays organization beyond, let's say, an Anthony Kay, a Simeon Woods Richardson, a Hatch, a Johnston, who were just added, beyond a Manoah, who was just drafted, beyond Big Nate, who's the leading man. What do you think of your other starting pitchers with regard to where they fall as with their major league potential?
This is my opinion only. I don't have any information on this, Jesse, but I think if Patrick Murphy didn't have the toe-tap concerns where he needed to kind of redesign his rotation a little bit, I think he would have been the guy to get the call up to the big leagues to fill that spot the Blue Jays needed. Now, Yancy, well-deserving as well. I thought he was a great pick, but I think if Patrick Murphy stayed exactly as he was and kept those numbers up, I think he gets that call up, and I think he pitches well. So we're hoping he's going to be back as soon as possible to continue doing what was just so impressive early in the season. Zach Logue, kind of in that same category. He's been on the IL for several weeks now. He was certainly reliable. But the story for me during the last month plus has been Justin Dillon, and he might not be a guy on a lot of prospect radars. He kind of put himself on the map when he pitched a no-hitter for Sacramento State, 10th-round pick 2 years ago. But Justin Dillon, we're finding more and more about last year's struggles there because of a knee injury. Now he's healthy, and he's been one of the best starters in this pitching rotation. He's really been locked in since the All-Star break, Jesse, 3-0 with a 1.45 ERA, and it's no fluke. So getting to watch Dillon pitch consistently without having to worry about the knee in the back of his mind, this guy's a real factor in the rotation. So keep an eye on Justin Dillon. He's 25, so it's not like you got a teenage prospect or anything, but he's been a real good addition to the pitcher catcher rotation. I wouldn't be surprised to see him continue in Buffalo and beyond.
LT_Murray, the lieutenant, the voice of the people, Tyler Murray, calling New Hampshire Fisher Cats action tonight on game show night against the Erie Seawolves, and that stretches through the whole weekend against Erie, followed up by a quick road trip, 3 days, 4 games at Binghamton, and then right back home next weekend. What do you got going on tonight for game show night?
Oh, game show night. You know the best MC in the business, at least that I've seen. Zick, Tyler Zickel, is going to be doing his thing for game show night tonight. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, of course, is going to be featured. And I found out putting together some games for that, the music for that TV show, it just puts you on the edge of your seat. So I can't wait for game show night. Very excited and a lot more fun throughout the season. Thanks for asking.
You bet. Tyler, thank you.
Jesse, if there's a better man out there, I haven't met him. Thank you very much.
And from Tyler Murray, let me bring in Zach Helden, the voice of the Bluefield Blue Jays. Zach, what's your favorite game show?
I would have to go with either Price is Right or Pressure Luck. Those are two old school, always favorites for me.
I grew up, we watched Price is Right every single day. We looked forward to it. We knew it. I'm still not the greatest estimator, but that was it. All right, let's talk about your Bluefield Blue Jays. I texted you specifically about this last week because I'm looking at the box scores and I'm seeing DJ Daniels appears to be breaking out. What's the latest on DJ?
Well, aside from last night, he had an 0-for-3 night, wore a sombrero with 3 strikeouts. He's kind of came along here lately, hitting right at the Mendoza line at 200. 6 home runs, nothing to sneeze at here later in the year. He's in the top half of the league in home runs and 18 RBIs. Also, probably in the top half of the ball club right now. So DJ is not an average hitter right now, but when he puts the ball in play, it does some damage. He's got 7 doubles and a triple to go along with that. So, you know, right there is 14 of his 20 hits are extra base variety. So the kid is athletic. We can go on and on about that. But, you know, the average has to come up for him to be, you know, as acknowledged as a top prospect in this organization. I think we all know that. But when you see him in person, you're just enthralled with his body and just how well he moves on the base paths, in the field, and I think just some work on the average, you know, finishing up this year, maybe in fall ball this year, and then, you know, early spring work. I think he can be right up there in, you know, the names we always mention in the prospect list for the Blue Jays.
Yesterday, you mentioned 0-for-3, the 3Ks. Look, that was happening to everybody yesterday. It was a 2-to-1 game. Bluefield won it, and they struck out a ton. By my quick count, 14 strikeouts, doesn't matter. Home runs by Stuart Baroa, Davis Schneider, you beat the Princeton Rays, and I know how much that means. Anytime I see a Bluefield game where the Blue Jays only give up one run, I've got to follow it up because that has not been the norm. So how good was the pitching yesterday?
The pitching was tremendous. Castaneda came in and chugged for 5 1/3. He got himself into a few pickles, but got himself out of it with some tremendous defense. Joseph Reyes played out of his mind yesterday at third base. He's working very hard. You know, he came in as the third baseman, and he's had some trouble there defensively, so they've kind of put him out in the outfield because they need him in the lineup there and so many different aspects of the offense. But yesterday, he almost started a triple play, hard hit ground ball, tagged the back for one, threw to second, and a little bobble at second on the turn. Otherwise, you would have saw a triple play last night. But made a leaping catch on a line drive. It was hit right at him, saved at least a double into the corner. So Joseph Reyes last night defensively saved at least two runs I can count on the back of my hand from. And defensively, Davis Schneider at second, just picking up from last year when he was here, looking solid there. And the defense was part of the key. But Castaneda, as I mentioned, four strikeouts. He had a couple of walks as well. Luis Alvarez came in 2 2/3 of relief. Couple of strikeouts, but didn't give up a run and just one hit. And Austin Havkost, remember this name. We talked earlier in the year, Jesse, about the bullpen troubles Bluefield was having. Havkost has came in, got his second save last night, three strikeouts in an inning of work. This team, 2.5 back of second place going into tonight, they're going to be in the playoff hunt the rest of the way. In the last week of the season with Burlington here, who is right now the second place team, that series could be huge. And, you know, we all know in the grand scheme of things, these games don't matter. But as these prospects are growing, big-time games, pressure, atmospheres always help when you're going against a divisional rival with a playoff trip on the line. And I think this is going to help this ball club tremendously down the stretch.
Let's go, Zach. You got me fired up now. The day before, I got to ask about Jimmy Robbins. Robbins strikes out 7 batters in 3 innings. Was there one strikeout pitch, or was it all working?
I think it was all working. And Jimmy, you know, he's kind of been here. I don't know if he has his bags unpacked yet here in Bluefield. He kind of got off the bus, and then they hit the road. So Jimmy, I haven't got to see Jimmy live, but I've been watching him, you know, on the road via the GameCast, and I think he's going to be another solid arm, especially from the left side in this bullpen. And going down the stretch, he may get a couple of starts. He started a game, and then he's come in and relief as well. So Luis Hurtado now has, it seems like, a plethora of pitching to go along with the defense and hitting that's been there all year. And Jesse, you're fired up. I'm fired up. Bluefield is getting fired up. It's football season here, and that's always a big thing here in this area. But when the Blue Jays are in the playoff hunt, this ballpark has a nice little atmosphere to it, and it's always fun to be here late in the year.
Zach, I love it. All right, I can't wait to see how things continue from here on out. Listen in to Zach Helton calling Bluefield Blue Jays baseball, going for the Appy League first playoffs, and then beyond that, going for the crown. Zach, thank you very much.
Jesse, as always, it's a pleasure, and anytime I wake up to a text message from you is delightful.
I'll take that. I'll take that as it comes. You can find Zach Helton on Twitter, Z_Helton. Let me bring in now Adam Jaxa, who broadcasts Lansing Lugnuts games with me. Adam, I'll try not to wake you up with any text messages. How are you?
I'm going to be honest, Jesse. That sounds a little creepy to me. I know that's good intention from Zach, but yeah, I don't want any alarm text messages from you to get me up in the morning.
Zach's my guy. He's my guy. Maybe you and I at one point will build that relationship. It's going to have to wait. All right, let's talk.
We're trying.
And let's talk about this Lansing. We'll talk about this Lugnuts team. On Bluebird Banter, there's a comment, and I love who this comment's about. Here it is. Here's a question. Just wondering what the story is on Marcus Reyes. He seems to be an interesting bullpen piece. What is his arsenal? Does he have big league potential? That posted by Downtown Michael Brown. Adam, your thoughts on Marcus Reyes?
Yeah, he's been an interesting guy throughout this entire season, Jesse. We watched him in April, and he really struggled through that first month. Now, he's a California guy, so you take it with a grain of salt because it was so cold here in Lansing and throughout the Midwest. I mean, it was 40 degrees, windy. It was extremely cold, and he got off to a slower start. But the thing with Marcus Reyes, on top of his really fun and exuberant personality, the guys love him and enjoy They're always talking about the stories that he tells and just how fun he is to be around. On top of all that, but on the mound, Jesse, he's really worked with Tony Kosaris, our pitching coach. We've talked to him a little bit about Marcus relying on his cutter, throwing that cutter for a strike, and that being more of his main pitch. And guys have really struggled with that. And on top of the cutter, he's changed his arm slot a little bit, coming more from the side than over the top. He was having some struggles where he would get done with stints and his arm would be a little bit more tired. So Tony Kosaris worked on his arm slot a little bit. And since then, he has taken off. I mean, he had a stretch this year that was just broken up just a couple of weeks ago where he had gone 20 scoreless innings throughout the bullpen. And we're talking about longer stints. Like he had become, because Dunedin has taken so many of the Lansing Lugnuts, either starting pitchers or bullpen pitchers. They needed new guys to step up on this Lansing Lugnuts team, and Marcus Reyes has become that long relief guy. So we're seeing him go sometimes two, three, three and a third innings of scoreless ball. And the latest outing we saw from him was in Bowling Green earlier last week, and he was outstanding. I mean, it was three quick innings. He's throwing strike after strike. He's mixing pitches, and he just looks like a completely confident pitcher on the mound. Much different than what we saw in April. So you're talking about a guy right now with an ERA of 2.26. His strikeouts are 45, walks 16, opponents batting 230 against him, whip just over one. And again, in this last couple of months stretch from him, honestly surprised that he's still in Lansing, but I think because Dunedin has got a full roster right now and they've taken so many Lansing Lugnuts pitchers throughout this season, Marcus hasn't had that opportunity to move up. But I certainly have high expectations for Marcus Reyes, which was completely different from what we saw at the beginning of the season. Give him credit. He's really worked on his pitching. He's worked well with Tony Kosaris, and he has found a nice groove, and it looks effortless every time he touches the mound.
It's not just Lansing pitchers that they're taking. They just talked to center fielder Reggie Pruitt. Pruitt goes up to the Florida State League, and I saw Keegan Matheson tweet this out. Your assessment of Reggie and what the DJs are getting.
This felt like a big move, Jesse. It was a long time coming for Reggie Pruitt, one of the better athletes in this Toronto Blue Jays organization. He's got great speed. He plays big league defense out in center field, has made some tremendous catches, and he's swiped 77 bags in his 2 years in Lansing, which is second most as a Lansing Lugnut in a career. Reggie Pruitt, the big thing with him that we're waiting on and we are waiting on throughout the season was that bat. Could it become more consistent than what it was last year? And it did that. He's improved last year, batted 211, his average up to 273 when he left town last week. And so I think he's become a much more complete offensive player. That's the one thing that I want to keep looking at from him, a guy that can bunt for singles because of his speed. He led the Midwest League with 8 triples. And then once he gets on base, he's dynamic. Again, 77 stolen bases in his career. He had 40 this year to lead the Midwest League. So everything there is complete for me. Center fielder, he can lead off. He can hit lower in the order. He can steal bags. If he can keep that average up in the high 270 to 300 range, I think there's certainly a chance for him to get up and play with the Blue Jays someday. But that promotion, I think, caught the eyes of a lot of people in the Blue Jays organization, because if you watch Reggie play, you see the potential with how athletic and speedy he is out in the field.
We've heard earlier in the show from Buffalo, the playoff push, from Bluefield, the playoff push. The Lansing Lugnuts have a playoff push of their own. Let me play a highlight. The Lugnuts are currently 3 games back of the South Bend Cubs, and they're playing the Cubs right now, 3 games back for the wild card. There's only 24 games to go in the Midwest League schedule. 2 days ago was the series opener, Lansing and South Bend, and, well, the Lugnuts received some good fortune thanks to some shoddy South Bend defense.
The pitch. Line shot right center field, down for a base hit for DJ Neal. Around second base, Aiello takes the turn. It's misplayed by Roeder. It goes all the way to the wall. That brings in Aiello. Neal's shown the windmill. He's trying to score. Throw to the plate. He's in safely. An enormous misplay by the center fielder Cole Roeder allows DJ Neal to circle the bases. Roeder is crouched over, doubled over with frustration and disappointment in himself. Anguish consuming him. 7-3 Lugnuts in the bottom of the sixth.
And the Lugnuts went on to win that game 9-5. Now, they lost yesterday 8-4. But, Adam, how about an assessment of the Lansing Lugnuts currently with the playoff picture?
Anguish consuming him indeed, Jesse. Loved that call there. What a highlight that was for DJ Neal. As you mentioned, there was some mishaps in that Cubs defense. But, yeah, I mean, 24 games to go, and the Lugnuts are right there in position to make a run. We're still waiting for that stretch, though, where can they string together a streak of five of their next six, they're able to get victories. They've really been a 500 team throughout this entire season. They had one lengthy road trip at the end of the first half where we started to see some wins and put together that streak, but they haven't really been a streaky team and got on that opportunity where they can go win five or six games. And I think for them to make the playoffs, that's what it's going to take. And give credit to South Bend. They've come in here through seven games, or through eight games and won six of those eight games against the Lugnuts. And if it's not for mistakes defensively, I think South Bend probably is able to win the series opener a couple of days ago. So they'll play South Bend again tonight. Lugnuts looking for their first home series victory in the second half. They have really struggled at Cooley Law School Stadium. And then they'll go to South Bend. They have big upcoming games with Fort Wayne and Dayton. So playing everybody within the Eastern Division. But it's going to take a streak where they get hot, where they start to rattle off some wins. And to this point, I mean, beginning back in April and now closing in on mid-August and towards the end of the regular season, we are still waiting for that good stretch of baseball, that consistency. Unless the Lugnuts can give us that, I'm not sure that they're going to be able to find a way to topple South Bend, come back from their three games behind deficit and find a way in the playoffs. But there's certainly time for them to do that and surprise us and find a way to get in.
He's at Adam Jaxa on Twitter, broadcasting the Lansing Lugnuts games with me. Adam, thank you very much.
You got it, Jesse. Thank you.
You can listen in to Adam and my broadcast, the Lugnuts home tonight, on the road tomorrow, and then Sunday and Monday in Dayton, Ohio, and then right back to Lansing, Michigan, starting up on Wednesday with a seven-game homestand. A question was written in, by the way, to Bluebird Banter about Jordan Groshans. The answer is we still have heard nothing. He's not appearing in the GCL box scores. That's where we look for rehabbers. So far, no sign of Jordan. Clay Buchholz, though, is starting today. He pitched in the Gulf Coast League, so he's rehabbing his way back, like we saw Anthony Offord head back to AAA. That's where I look perpetually on a daily basis. Hey, let's see who's in the GCL box score. Let's see who's ready to come back. An interview for you this week. Left-hander Randy Pondler moved up to Lansing from Vancouver, began this year with Vancouver. Last year he was in the Vancouver starting rotation. And the year before that, he was the Appalachian League Pitcher of the Year. He is from Nicaragua, and he is fully bilingual, English and Spanish. Get to know the Southpaw.
Back on the Lansing Lugnuts pregame show, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by new Lugnuts pitcher Randy Pondler. Randy, what pitches do you throw?
I throw fastball, changeup, slider, and curveball, so I have four pitches in it.
After you learned your fastball, what was the second pitch you learned?
My curveball, and then after I had to start working with my changeup and my slider, so.
Do you use a different out pitch for right-handed hitters and left-handed hitters?
Yeah, so probably, I mean, with left-hander, I use slider, and then with right-hand hitter, I use my curveball, so, yeah.
Welcome to the Lansing Lugnuts. Welcome to the Midwest League. What have you heard about playing in the Midwest League and playing in Lansing?
I mean, I heard it's a lot of fun, you know. You have a lot of fun here, and, I mean, I was so excited to be here, you know. I mean, I had that teammate that been here before, and they told me, like, you know, I mean, like, it's pretty good, you know. And I just came over here, and what I have in mind is to come and have fun, you know, and have the team to win, you know. I mean, just keep going forward.
How old were you when you first started pitching?
I mean, I was a kid, like 5-6 years old when I started pitching. You know, I mean, yeah.
Were you immediately a very good pitcher?
Yeah, I mean, from kids growing up, I always been a good pitcher. You know, it was, little lead and stuff like that. I always be like, you know, great pitcher. So I just decided to do that.
I saw that the Blue Jays signed you right out of pitching for the Nicaraguan Professional Baseball League. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, back home I was playing, you know, and mm-hmm. then I got signed it, and I was so happy for the opportunity, you know, because to sign for an organization, that was my dream from I was a kid growing up, so it was good.
Excuse me for mispronouncing the name. Was it the Chinandega Tigres? What was the name of the team you were playing for?
I mean, I was training, so we was like in minicamp, you know. I mean,
yeah.
We didn't start as yet when I got signed, but yeah, I was training with the Tigres of Chinandega, and then after I got signed, so I didn't play. You know, I mean, I went to Dominican, and then for Instructor League, and I did a great job, and I mean, I'm here today, and I mean, it's impressive.
Did you have any friends who were also signed right with you?
No, I mean, like right. Friends from Nicaragua. I mean, you know, Nicaragua, just few guys like that play. Well, I mean, a lot of guys play baseball, but just a few get signed to our major league organization.
Yeah.
So that's most exciting. That year, I mean, like, was just a few of us, but I mean, like, none of them was my friend. But yeah, I mean, like, from where I live, was like, 2-3 of us. So that was exciting. Yeah.
What did your family think about you getting signed?
Well, when I got signed, I called my mom and my dad, and I told them that, you know, I got signed with the Blue Jays. And they were so excited because they were waiting on that moment, and they know that was my dream from kids growing up. So,
did you ever have any other members of your family play baseball?
Yeah, I mean, my brother played baseball, but he didn't play to a high level. You know, I mean,
yeah.
He just played back home, like maybe just like low level. But yeah, I mean, like he's the one that always be around me. And you know? I mean, like my mom, even though my mom, my dad, they don't play. They love baseball, but they don't play. You know, my dad, he didn't play baseball. So I mean, like. They were so excited for me, always there for me, like, you know, when I go to game or stuff like that. My brother, he would give me advice and stuff like that, you know, because he was, like, a little bit older than me, and he had a lot of experience than me, so then he just started giving me some advice, and I really appreciate that, and knowing that my family would just be there for me.
Like, what advice has he given you?
Man, he just told me that, you know, I mean, like, I'm a good pitcher, and, I mean, so far that he see, you know, I mean, I'm doing a great job. He'd say that I must just keep it up. And someday I would sign with a major league organization, and my dream come true. And now, even though he know that was my dream from my kids growing up, so I mean, there was always there for me. You know, someday, like, you know, you have bad days, like someday you have bad days, and they would always tell me, you know, like, keep your head up and just keep fighting. You know, I mean, you will get good results. You know, and here I am today, so I'm really happy for that. You know.
Has your brother, have your parents been able to see you at all in the minor leagues?
I mean, no, my brother, no, my family, they're not seeing me. Well, yeah, I mean, they watch me play, like, you know, over TV or stuff like that. But, I mean, they've never been, like, in the U.S. to watch me play, you know. That would be really excited. And, I mean, like, maybe more down, I would just, you know, have them come over and see me play. But, yeah, I mean, back home, I play, like, winter ball and stuff like that, the professional baseball there. And yeah, they go and watch me, and they were so excited to see me for you know, like first, second time playing back home, and after I get signed, you know. Yeah.
Did you play any other sports besides baseball?
I mean, I used to play like baseball and basketball, you know. And then my dad, he told me, like, you know, like you need to choose one, you know, because you're just gonna play two sports. And then I just choose to play baseball, you know. I just choose to play baseball, and everything worked out good, you know. Thank God for that, and I just keep working hard, you know, and just keep going.
How good of a basketball player were you?
I mean, I wasn't that good, you know. I mean, like, what I used to do is like shoot a lot of three and stuff like that, but I wasn't that good. I was better in baseball than basketball, so my dad just told me, like, I need to choose one, and I just choose baseball, you know, because, you know, I mean, like, back home, we have baseball and basketball league, but I mean, I just, like, maybe pro basketball league and stuff like that. No one reached the NBA, so I was like, you know, it could be more harder for me, so then I just choose to play baseball because, I mean, like, you know, you have few guys in the big league that play, you know, from Nicaragua that play baseball, so I was like, yeah, I have a better opportunity to reach in the big league.
I know, let's see, there's Erasmo Ramirez, there's Chesler Cuthbert right now. Who else am I missing?
You had Jonathan Loaiziga, Juan Carlos, JC Ramirez.
Yes.
He with the Angel. Yeah, so just few guys, you know, I mean, like, then you have other guys that in the minor league, you know, just few guys from Nicaragua. So when we Nicaraguan, like, get the opportunity to sign with a baseball organization, we just try to make match and just have fun and, you know, try to work hard and do a great job, you know, to keep on going. Maybe someday reach in the big league, you know. That even though everyone signed, that's what their mindset, you know, they have to reach in the big league. That's everyone's dream. So, I mean, we're just working hard for that, you know.
speaking with Randy Pondler. Who are your favorite players or teams growing up?
My favorite player. My favorite player is pitcher that I always look at is Adelis Chapman and CeCe Sabathia. Those are two guys I always like to see how they pitch. And being lefty too. I watch those guys play and I learn a lot. The way how they control the game and the way how they do stuff.
For you, how is it coming for you learning how to control a game?
it wasn't that hard, It wasn't that hard to learn because, if someone give me, have more experience than me and give me advice, then I just try to listen to what they say and just keep that in mind, So when that moment comes, then I already know, I remember what older player told me, so it just come easy for me because I already heard about it, so when that time come, I'm ready for it,
Your route through the minor leagues with the Blue Jays, so it's the Dominican Summer League, then you moved up, and then a couple of years ago, you were pitching for the Bluefield Blue Jays in 2017, and you were named the Appalachian League Pitcher of the Year. How was that season?
I had a great season there, I had Tony there with me. He was a pitching coach in 2017, he always told me, just try to attack the batter, I have good stuff, just keep on going, it was a really great year, all my stuff was working, I just tried to attack the zone, and use my different pitches, and I was successful, work hard, and I got the results. I was so happy for that. My family was so happy for that, and the whole organization there was happy for me too. So I'm happy. I'm really happy for the job I did, and I just keep on working hard and just keep going and just keep going forward. I'll just try to keep on maybe in my career just keep doing it over and over. Even not in the same league, but just going up, I'll just try to have my mindset to help my team win keep doing a great job.
You worked hard through Vancouver last year, Vancouver bullpen to start up this year. Now you're here in Lansing. What are you working on right now?
What I'm working on right now, I have a mindset. When I get called up, when the manager told me that I get called up to Lansing, I was so excited. I was so happy. Being here to help out the team. So my mindset is just to come here and try to help the team. And for we to go to the playoff and try to win. So what I have in mind is to help them, and so we can go to work as a team together and try to win a championship. That's what I have my mindset on right now, working on.
First thing I noticed about you, your first appearance with the Lugnuts, you picked a guy off first base. How did you work on your pickoff move?
I have four years since I signed in 2016. So from that, that's the first year. I didn't have that pick I start working on it, because I see different guy in the big league or stuff like that do it. And one day I just told my brother I gotta start working on it, and I start working on it. So in 2017, I did it. I started doing it, but then it was so slow, so I didn't pick off no one, And then 2017 is where I was getting better. I started working more and I get better on it. And there was from 2017 I start picking off guys, and it's much better now. Now to this level, it's really much better. It's much faster, and the runner. They're sometimes they think you need to make your windup or lift your feet to go to first. And so I just surprised the runner like that. I just surprised them. If they take off a little, I would just try to pick them up and get it.
With Randy Pondler, I've heard you speak fluently in Spanish and in English. When did you learn to speak fluently in English?
Back home where I live, Nicaragua is we are divided in two parts. So I live on the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And on the Caribbean we speak Spanish and English. We speak both, So from my kids growing up I learn English,
Have you seen that help you in the minor leagues, that you're able to talk to everybody?
Yeah, it's helped me a lot, When I just got signed and I came, when I came out, when I came to the U.S., when I came to Florida, everyone thought I only speak Spanish, so everyone was, trying to talk, like all the white guy, or, they're starting to want to talk Spanish, They're thinking I only speak Spanish. So then, when they would try to talk to me in Spanish, I would be I would just start talking in English, and they would be like, hey, And they say surprised. It was like, I would never believe that. I mean, you're from Latin America and you speak English. I was like, yeah, where I live, I mean, I live in the Caribbean and we speak both. So, I mean, that helped me a lot. You know, that helped me a lot to have conversation with my teammate and my coach. My coach is my manager, my pitching coach, and everyone. You know, I mean, that helped me a lot. And I mean, I just try to help out my teammate. You know, like some Latin guy that they don't speak English. Mm-hmm. I would just try to help them out. You know, and try to show them the way and try to always be there for them and help them. You know.
And finally, with Randy Pondler, there's baseball, there's basketball. What else do you really enjoy? What else do you have a passion for?
I mean, there was only those two sports. You know, I was have a mindset for, you know, I mean, soccer, I would just watch it a little bit, but I was so scared to play because, I mean, it looked so hard and stuff like that, but, so from my kids growing up, I just love playing basketball and baseball, and I just choose to play baseball now, so my mindset is just on baseball right now, you know, I mean.
Do you have any favorite ways to spend your free time?
I mean, on my free time, I would just go back home and I'll go in off season, and then, you know, maybe go to the beach and, you know, enjoy my family and stuff like that. And they're so excited to, like, when I go home back, they're excited to see me back. I mean, like, you know, and you know, I mean, I will enjoy with family, and that's the most important part for, you know, for me. I mean,
Randy, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And that'll do it for another week of Around the Nest. By the way, Scott Mitchell has just tweeted at Jordan Groshans, parentheses, foot. Still shut down, unfortunately, for the 2018 first rounder. I'm being told he's done for the year, quote unquote, at Scotty Mitch TSN. So, unfortunately, no more Jordan Groshans for the rest of this year for the Lansing Lugnuts or anybody else. We'll look ahead to 2020 with Jordan. For the rest of us, though, we have less than a month to go in this season. And then the postseason, we know Dunedin's in. We'll see about everybody else. This is going to be really fun as we get through it. We're through the trade deadline. We're through the draft. We're through every single thing going on. It is now time for the home stretch, and let's see who finishes strong. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, at J. Goldstrass on Twitter, for Adam Jackson with Lansing. Also, for Pat Malacaro with Buffalo, Tyler Murray with New Hampshire, Jim Tarabocchia with Dunedin, and finally for Zach Helton with the Bluefield Blue Jays. No Rob Fay, because Vancouver's playing a nooner. We'll get back in touch with Rob next week. This has been Around the Nest, at Around Nest on Twitter. Huge thanks to Hayden Godfrey, out of the minor leaguer, and Bluebird Banter. And you know how to contact us. Just comment at Around Nest or message me directly. Let us know whatever we can do to try to offer you the latest insights and outlooks. But this concludes another week. And so until next week, enjoy the baseball.